This is the Full Funnel B2B Marketing Podcast, brought to you by FullFunnel.io. Let's dive in.
Hey guys, welcome to the new episode of Full Funnel Live. So it's Thursday evening here in Europe and Thursday morning in the North America. And it's a time for a new episode. And as promised earlier today, we are going to chat about how to get consensus with CFOs, right? How to justify your marketing investments and build a good relationship with your financial department. And my guest today is Amber Bogi from RichDesk. And I believe she's the best person to cover this topic and provide insightful answers. Amber, thanks a lot for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for the kind words.
Yeah, cool. So again, we have Niti, Spain. Nice. So again, we have our great international audience. So let's kick it off. One of the things that why we decided to pick up this topic for today's episode is because lots of companies are dealing with the recession, right? Marketing budgets are slashed. And the reality is, I would use, let's say, stock market terminology here. When we were in a bull market, right? Companies raised money and everybody was focusing on growth. So like whenever you come and say, hey, I need a budget for this and that, for this specific program, and I just want to accelerate revenue, you could get that money pretty easily, right? Without solid justification and lots of questions coming from CFO or key stakeholders. And nobody was questioning if everybody in your team uses it, right? How frequently the product is being used, what is the ROI from that purchase, etc. And nowadays, we are in a bear market, right? So it's a completely different story. And every cent that is invested in marketing is questioned, is thoroughly reviewed, and you need to justify whenever you want to launch a new program, whenever you want to build a new motion, right? Whenever you need to purchase something for your stack, you need to justify it. And for many companies, it might be a hell. Some of you know that we are running this industry report, and I was sharing behind the scenes some stats with Amber, which is called the state of full funnel marketing. And one of the questions that we're asking, do you have budget to upskill your team, basically to invest into skill set, into training, right, etc. And the majority of companies replied, no, we don't have budget for this. But again, for me, the challenge here is that the problem is not that the company doesn't have money. It does. The problem is that we can't explain if we are going to ask for something, what could be the return on that investment? And that's the point for why we want to chat today and share all of that experience with you guys. So the first thing, Amber, I would love to ask you, as you have a lot of experience here. So nowadays, right? Let's look at the current situation, the recession. How to present and justify marketing investment, new program, new stack, whatever, right? What should be the right approach here?
Well, I mean, the standard kind of across the board, I feel like, is putting together a business case for, you know, what it is that you need, why you need it, and then having, you know, a various areas of questions that you have predetermined before you have a conversation with your finance department or with your CFO. But I think like preceding that actually is like a lot of what I think the focus needs to be is actually having a relationship with your finance department first and foremost. And I think that, you know, what I'm really witnessing right now, like you literally just kind of talked about like the bear and the bull, like the growth versus like what we're going through right now. And I'm kind of calling it like the growth versus the squeeze. Like there was the really high rapid growth, and a lot of people and companies experienced that. And there was, we have more money, we have more funding, we have more, like, what can marketing do with it? And like, here, like, bring in, you know, bring in impact. But there was a lot less scrutiny on what are you doing with it? How is it performing? Why? And right now we're in this squeeze moment. And like, kind of just like backing way up before we even have this like kind of conversation about a business case, I think it's really important for us to actually see the significant value in like what we're going through right now. And I can speak for myself specifically in saying, like, when we are in another growth period, I'm going to feel way more set up for success because I'm being forced to have these conversations. I'm being forced to answer them. And I don't think any marketer would really say like that they don't want to know this stuff. They've just never been held to having necessarily to have this information and to have like a really deep understanding of it, or to have kind of like a better understanding of why the finance department exists and why it's so important that we have close alignment with each other. So I think like all of that is really important just to kind of set up for success before we even bring this conversation to, we need this product and why, we need this spend and why. Because prior to going to your CFO, you've been spending time together and you have a clear understanding of what each other's goals are and what KPIs you're working towards. And he's going to know what you've been struggling with already or what your strategy is already. And so offhand, like he or she should already know, you know, what this request is even supporting in. And that kind of is the way I'm seeing things right now. So if I went to my CFO next week and asked for something, he would already know why or what it is in support of. Yes, I'd have to put together a business case to have kind of the questions answered, but it wouldn't be coming out of left field. And that's, I think, the biggest area to focus on.
And I would love to elaborate here, because lots of companies actually were seeing lots of laid offs, right? So even in our community, I know a couple of people who are changing companies. So they were laid off and now they're joining a new company as a VP of marketing, CMO, ABM lead, whatever. So let's say if I joined a new company and I want to bring a new vendor, right? Let's say demand gen agency and I need Reach Desk, for example, right? So what would be the right way? And I don't have a strong position in the company. I'm newbie here, right? So what would be the right way to justify that investment? So what exactly I need to show to my CFO or stakeholders?
Well, I mean, like, first and foremost is like, what is the strategy? Laying the foundation of your strategy in explaining exactly what, you know, what the shifts in your strategy for. So for, you know, for me coming into an organization, hired to do X, Y, Z, I have to outline what my strategy is in order to achieve that strategy. And then like within that strategy, what is going to help me achieve it? And here are the different operational things that we need to do. And then clearly outline, this is the software or the vendor that supports in this action. And then having a, you know, an outline of what are the impacts that you're going to see from this, you know, preemptively having the question of, you know, first of all, like knowing how is this going to request, like, or what is this cost going to do to help achieve our company goals? That's outlined in the strategy, right? And then is this like, you know, one of the follow-up questions that you get asked immediately, and in particular for this is new vendor. So it's not, you know, is it a reallocation of the existing budget or is it incremental, right? Because sometimes you can just move money around to utilize it, right? So it's not necessarily a net new cost. Having information on like what type of vendor it is, there, you know, sometimes they come in like, oh, this is the annual cost, like this is all that it costs, but it's also like knowing not just the cost of the tool, but is it fixed or variable? So if you do bring in a particular software, you have your annual contract value, and then you have variable values. Like if you're using display, that's going to be like a monthly add-on. And so having that information, then, you know, of course, there are qualitative and quantitative benefits to any product and or strategy. So having a really clear outline of what those are. And it's not just qualitative benefits that like the finance department cares about. They care about the quantitative stuff too. I think that one thing that I've learned from, you know, having more face-to-face conversations and investing that relationship with our finance department is, you know, they're not like the man behind the curtain. They're not this big scary force that I think that we kind of pit each other against. There's this kind of like idea that, you know, marketing be afraid of finance because, you know, they control the money. But at the end of the day, their goals are our goals. We literally are working towards the same thing. And they also, you know, they also want us to take risks too. Like they understand that that's where we are, you know, what marketing is in the business to do. And it's to drive value and drive, you know, drive pipeline for the business. Sometimes that does, you know, that necessitates taking risks and trying new things. And I think that, you know, being educated in, you know, knowing what part of your request or decision or strategy is a risk and having an understanding and clarity and really, you know, just presenting it in an effective way is going to be valuable. You know, in addition to that, you know, determining and making it clear, like how this tool and or, you know, spend is going to make us be more efficient. And then I think one of the big ones, and I tend to be, you know, pretty dramatic with this, but like, what's the cost of inaction? What's going to happen if we don't buy this? So when I went in to make a request, and I had to fight like hell to get something late Q4, not a small cost, very, very significant to my strategy, to what I was hired to do in the business. I was able to get it approved and I was able to bring in the business. The cost of inaction was very severe. It was do or die with the strategy. And because of the market, it became that much more important for us to bring in this strategy, to bring in this tool to support the strategy. So it's like, for me, the cost of inaction, I said like not hitting basic goals, that is the cost of inaction. And if we bring this one, I can at least hit the goals and exceed above in future growth states. So, you know, having that clarified, like what's going to happen if we don't do this? And, you know, really important one that I think marketers really struggle with is a need or a want, because everything really is a want, but we have to discern between the needs. And the needs are the ones that have, you know, direct implications to your strategy or have like a negative cost of an action to them. So I'd say that in addition. So, I mean, there's a lot of different, things to be prepared for. And I think that, you know, in all of the things that I kind of just listed, it's like, yes, that's important to have addressed and identified, but, you know, beyond that or before that is, you know, how much time have you spent investing in your relationship with your CFO? So you're not just a stranger coming into the conversation and just saying like, here's this information, you know, give me money. I know what your objectives and KPIs are. You know what mine are. We've been talking about this strategic initiative for this, you know, this much time. Here, you know, we put together this business case and then having a conversation about it. You know, so it's more than just transactional.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. And I think there are several important points here. So the first one is tie every investment to revenue or cost saving, but cost saving is also revenue, right? So one of the points here is that if you want to print a vendor, right, how exactly this vendor going to accelerate your growth, right? Or help with like improving anything or enhancing your marketing and sales mm-hmm. motion, right? That's the first thing. So the same with software. Let's say if you want to purchase anything, demonstrate how it's going to improve existing processes. I think one of the biggest mistakes companies are making is purchasing software before creating the process, right? Oh. And it doesn't matter if it's account-based marketing, demand generation, whatever yes. it is, right? Sales enablement. Hey, so I saw this cool software, so let me buy it because this will help us. But the point is that lots of things, account-based marketing, demand generation, sales enablement, you name it, can be done with almost without any stack or with a very lean stack. You can simplify any campaign just to get positive signals first, right? And then you can invest and enhance it. So the key point, if nobody in your team knows how to use it, right? I mean, if nobody is aware of the process, right? Then it will be just a waste of time, because then even if you'll purchase it and your team will resist, right, using that software, you will receive lots of questions. And if like somebody will ask you, how often is this product being used, right? What's the ROI, etc.? Then again, you'll get multiple questions. One of the things I believe as well might be helpful, considering everything that you shared, if you are a marketer, right, and you need to justify your purchase, one of the lowest hanging fruits is coming to your vendor, right, and just say, hey, so I'm considering to buy your software, right, but you need to help me to justify that investment to my CFO.
Yes. So, I absolutely put it on the vendor as much. I mean, we are busy. We are busy. All of us are busy. It is a significant investment in time to bring on a vendor. It is significant just doing the evaluation, just doing the business case. A lot of it, implementation can take months for certain products. Like, it depends on the type, but I have high expectations for vendors. And as you know, a customer first, you know, product working at a company that's very customer focused. Like, I have definitely, you know, increased my expectations on the treatment that I expect from my vendors. And so even in the sales process, that means you need to help me put a business case together. You need to help me sell this internally. It is absolutely a part of the process and responsibility. And, you know, being honest, they're going to work with you on price because they want to sell too. Like, we're all in the same market together. You're going to be able to leverage, just similar to like a housing market and like what's going on being a buyer, a seller. Like, right now it's, in some ways it's, we're struggling with budget, but it's a buyer's market because we can also go to every vendor and get the lowest possible cost in a lot of respects, right? Because we're all just trying to survive.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, guys, quick announcement. So in 2 weeks, we are hosting our full funnel summit. I'm just dropping a link in the chat. And for those who will be listening to the recording, you'll find the link in the description. Amber is one of our keynote speakers. So just make sure that you grab your free ticket. And there's something cool that we are preparing for the summit. So just make sure to show up. The link is in the chat. One thing that I want to cover as well is the report. So what are the reports and the numbers CFOs want to see from a marketing team?
Sir, what's the question?
Sorry. So what is the number, or basically what are the numbers the CFO would like to see from a marketer? So what are the numbers CFOs are paying attention to?
I mean, I'd say that, you know, if you don't have like a really strong relationship with your CFO, I just like kind of stereotypically across the board say that your CFO is going to want to know like what kind of pipeline, you know, like, let's say, from like a demand gen perspective, they're gonna be asking for like leads, meetings, opportunities, pipeline, and close rate, and then what's the spend and what's the return on the spend and what's your cost per opportunity, specific to the numbers that I am discussing with my team. I think it's going a little bit deeper, and we're, you know, for example, like the numbers that we're discussing, those are helping us actually build out models to create our targets, because we are kind of talking very, very in like in the weeds about what, how each channel is performing, and what that's yielding and the spend, you know, the cost per opportunity per channel. So for example, we have, you know, a weekly meeting where we're talking, how we're doing, how we're pacing. So that's it's not just like, okay, here are the 2-3 numbers that CFO cares about. It's actually talking through a lot of different aspects of them. So how are we pacing for the quarter when it comes to our meetings, or our opportunity creation, our pipeline, what is, you know, how are we pacing across each of the different tiers that we're segmenting? So like enterprise, mid-market, commercial, and then of that pacing, like how are we actually performing from an inbound marketing channel? So what is our actual like inbound to close rate? So like we may be bringing in less opportunities or more opportunities than we were set for the quarter, but how is the inbound like number closing? Because if we're having a higher or lower conversion rate, then that's obviously going to change what our actual number needs to be for the quarter. So for example, you know, we set our goal for the quarter of X with the idea that the inbound close rate was going to be Y, but right now our inbound close rate is actually higher than what we anticipated. So if we are, you know, looking at the overall number, then that's going to change based on what the result's going to be just because of the inbound close rate. So as a complicated way of saying, we're talking through a lot of the different things. Now on a weekly basis, we're not talking about necessarily like the cost per opportunity, but we are certainly tracking that. We have set up our OKRs across the company and we're tracking that on a weekly basis. So that is looking at, what is your ROI on all marketing spend? What's it yielding? So we have our set ROI goal of, you know, let's say it's 15X. What's your cost per opportunity? And having a goal of decreasing the cost per opportunity by 10%, like quarter over quarter. And so just measuring and tracking all of those things. And then paying attention to the flip rates of meetings to opportunities.
Love it. And in the beginning, you mentioned that if you don't have a good relationship with your CFO, you are going to have hard times. So the question is how to improve your relationship with CFO.
Yeah. So actually, I mean, this is very near and dear to my heart right now. And I love that I get to talk about it, quite frankly, because I've been experiencing what everybody else is experiencing. Like this isn't unique to me, right? So fortunate and very fun for me that I work for a MarTech company, so that, you know, actually thinking about like, what is my pain as a marketer is likely the pain of other marketers out there. And so this kind of actually created a whole campaign for us for the beginning of this quarter. And as we've gone through this squeeze period, as I've mentioned, like growth versus squeeze, I've had to do an analysis of, you know, in Q3 of last year, let's say I did an analysis of what did every single channel do? How did every single channel perform? What was the like yield from every single thing that we spent money on? How many opportunities? What was the conversion rate? What was the flip rate? What was the cost of everything? So like getting a total deep dive into that. So, and then building out, like, what do you think you're going to do for the following quarter, and having not had to figure out some of this stuff before, never having to answer some of these questions before, which is like shocking, but you know, if you're going through like this high growth period, not a lot of these questions are happening. And that kind of goes back to what I'm saying in the beginning, that like this period is painful and it's tough, but it is going to be so valuable for us to be better marketers during hard and good times. So kind of just like going back to the question of all of this stuff happening required me to spend a lot more time with the CFO department. And it was definitely a little intimidating at first. And then we came up with this campaign and we actually did an interview with our CFO just to actually understand and ask questions like, what do you actually want to know? What do you actually care about? And we were able to kind of leverage the experience that he and I had during, you know, all of this period. And it came back to being something simple. Like, for example, we actually initially thought that the campaign should be around how to request budget from your CFO, but it didn't really seem as valuable at that moment to just be like, here's what you need to ask your CFO. Because when we had a discussion, the first thing that came forward was, well, you need to have a relationship. You need to work closer together. So it came down to investing in your CFO, investing in the relationship with the CFO. And as you do so, then you bring forward the like required things and the business case and all of that. So very long-winded story short to say, like, what are four ways to build a stronger working relationship with your CFO? It's like, get regular FaceTime with them, like meet them, like they're a human being. Prepare an agenda for this, you know, conversation. Treat every conversation as a collaboration. And then like very, you know, very basic, but like if you're just meeting this person and it's like a new relationship, like kind of learning to match your CFO's communication style. They might be a little bit more, you know, kind of quick to the point. You know, it's like I learned with ABM especially that when working with the sales team, for example, like, and you're having to kind of teach them to fish sort of, it really helped when I just kind of learned how they liked to utilize, like how they like to start a meeting, how they like to kind of be guided. It's kind of learning somebody's, okay, he's back, you're back. I was like, sorry. Just me for a second. So anyways, I was just saying that, you know, I feel like have kind of been taught to be a little bit intimidated by the CFO or the finance department because it's unfamiliar to us, but it goes both ways, right? And they're partners. They have the same shared investments, the same shared interests. And so a day and night, you know, to the relationship was kind of just giving each other a little bit of an understanding of what it is we do and how we have, you know, how some of our strategies are working in the same direction for the same shared goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. So one of the things that I loved your example about sales, because I believe this is one of the things, right? If you don't understand the hurdles sales are facing in being in the trenches, right? And if you are just wearing pink glasses saying, hey, let's do this fantastic campaign, right? And if you are not prepared to answer hard questions from sales, no chance that they would support your ABM motion. And the same is here with CFOs. I think that quite often, like we as marketers treat them as budget gatekeepers, right? So that is this, like sometimes we might feel being beggars, right? Hey, can you give me that money? Can you approve that purchase? But generally speaking, we need to understand that these people were hired to do specific job, right? And one of the jobs to be done is basically making sure that the cash flow is positive and all the investments that are made, they are bringing some money back, right? So these are not just useless expenses. Otherwise, nobody would hire a CFO, right? So understanding the jobs to be done, understanding the challenges of that person, right? That already helped. And basically trying to be in their shoes, right? That helps to build that relationship and treating everybody as a human being, right? Understanding that everybody might have different problems, challenges, etc., outside of the work, right? Helps to, so you don't need just to think only in terms of work relationship, but just also to get acquainted on the personal level, which is like probably the easiest way to do it is to read the well-known book written by Dale Carnegie, right? How to Make Friends. This is the evergreen principle on how you can build a good relationship with anybody. We have a couple of questions from our community. I would quickly share my screen so we can cover them. We have one a question from Chris, and he's asking, would love to learn more about both incremental investments, like justifying scaling, as well as larger investments, such as bringing on agencies. So agency we have covered, but yeah, scaling, it's interesting point.
Well, when I was talking about the incremental, I was talking specifically like, let's say a display or LinkedIn, like you've got the incremental spend. So every month it's going to be different month over month. In addition to the base cost to like the platform. So like a $0.06 terminus, if you will. You know, when it comes to, I guess, like incremental on that, I almost say it's treating it like a pilot and putting together a pilot strategy to support. So, you know, getting X amount of spend for X amount of time and having a conversation of, you know, like, this is what I expect to yield from this, from an ROI perspective. And, you know, having a conversation with the CFO, you know, if we can do this with this spend and this time, the expectation that, you know, further spend will be provided.
Love it. One more question from DJ Howard. And I believe that's a really interesting question. So let's say if you need to invest into something that won't produce immediate impact on business, on revenue, right? Like let's say demand generation program, if you are launching it from scratch, and if your sales cycle is long, your ACV is high, right? You won't see immediate impact. Mm-hmm. So how can you justify the investment in that case? And for how long you need to measure that impact to continue the justification process?
I mean, I think that one has a lot to do. And like, that's like every ABMer's day to day. Like, I don't know any ABM strategy that's like overnight, like millions and millions of dollars in revenue. Like that's your investment. That is the investment strategy of all investments. So I feel familiar with this. I would say that it's two really important things. One is laying the, like setting up for expectations. So I am very honest and very frank. This is how long it's going to take to see results. This is when we can expect. This is a long game. I mean, if you think about building a product, you know, software companies building out products or, you know, doing certain types of projects, there are some companies and things that take years. And that's like not shocking to take up, you know, 2 years to build out X product. You know, there are other industries outside of software that have 5-year plans to build out a new model of something. Like this is not, you know, the craziest thing in the world, but like things take time. I think we're very like expecting of like instant, you know, instant gratification, right? So it's like, that needs to be put really clear. Like this is not an instant gratification. And I think that's a bigger conversation because the whole demand gen versus ABM is like, well, demand gen, people are expecting instant gratification and it's panic mode when like the numbers are not doing as well. Like, okay, let's bring in leads. But it's like, what is the success rate of those leads? What's the inbound close rate of those? So it's like, it's having the conversation and having like a very frank, you know, conversation that's telling the truth. I mean, to me, it's like, just don't lie, like be honest about it. But the big, big second part of that is, and this is on us, like this is on our, like we have to figure out how to do this, is we need to figure out how to feed the business while we build this thing out, because the business isn't going to run if you can't bring results in. So you have to do stuff in tandem. So for example, you know, like I'm building out an ABM strategy, but our demand gen engine is running and it is bringing in the business, and this slow evolution and this slow shift is happening so that they get married together. And eventually it's just like, we've got two pieces humming together and they kind of start to evolve into, all right, this is how the strategy is merging. But there is no off button. We can't press pause. That is just the reality of the business. So we have to figure out how to do both at the same time. And that goes back to setting up expectations. You know, like if somebody's hiring me for a job, it's my job to say, this is what's going to work and this is what's not going to work. And I have to do it this way or that way. Or we just, I mean, we're at, you know, points in our careers where it's either a fit or it's not. Like we need to be, we need to have conviction in what we're doing and have hard conversations. And I know that might be a little harsh, but I think that's just where I'm at right now.
That's absolutely true. And this was a fantastic reply. I totally agree with you. I think that partially one of the mistakes that we as marketers are making when we come up without a program, that even if we have experience in ABM, right, and we are seasoned ABMers, or we did demand generation for years, but we come to a new company and it's a new environment for us.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know ICP that well. We don't know product that well, right? We don't know the competition that much. So there is a huge learning curve behind us. So, and if we come and say, hey, you know what, just because I did at that company, that stuff, that's going to work. So let's invest all of our money here. And this company was not doing these things, right? You put yourself into a dangerous zone. That's the first thing. The second one is, aside from setting up right expectations, obviously, if let's say if your sales cycle length is 12 months and you are going to run account-based marketing, don't present it as a magic wand that drastically shortens that sales cycle, right? So if your sales cycle length is 12 months, obviously, the right justification period should be at least half of that period. And that being said, you need to look at positive signals and leading indicators, right? Even if you have a robust process, you selected accounts, you researched these accounts, you know these accounts' key initiatives, and you know their needs, and you know the value that your product can provide and fulfill these needs, right? So there is an obvious win-win for both sides. It still doesn't matter that these companies are ready to buy for multiple reasons. One of them, simply because they have different priorities right now, but that could be changed if you continue to market into them the right way, right? Another reason, you might work for unknown or maybe not well-known or well-respected vendor on the market. And if, especially if you are selling to enterprises, there is a risk. The risk that basically nobody will be fired for bringing, I don't know, let's say in our space, nobody would be fired for bringing Ogilvy, I don't know, like McKinsey, whatever, like well-known big agencies, right? But even for us, considering our brand, which is more or less well-known, but for bigger, let's say, world corporations, we are still small, tiny unknown vendor, right? And we are dealing a lot with this, and that's why it's really important to build that good relationship with the entire buying committee and making sure that you need to explain it to your key stakeholders, right? The same even with software, right? So let's say you purchase Reach Desk, but before this, you need to have a good process and you need to explain how this software is going to enhance that process, right? So don't just purchase it beforehand. And next, when you present the campaign, explain the positive signals. So what could be the positive signal, right? The company is not buying, but they consistently sign up for your events, right? Or they consistently visit your website, check price and page, check use cases, whatever it is, right? They, I don't know, like your sales team, depending on how you build account development playbook, but generally speaking, you have a good account penetration. You are connected with more people, let's say on LinkedIn, on Twitter, and these people are replying to your messages. There is like some conversation moving forward, right? And these are all the positive signals. Just generally speaking, you need to explain this, and that's already a progress that this opportunity might appear in the nearest future. And I believe one of the biggest mistakes is not onboarding key stakeholders on these points, right? I would love to ask you guys for your feedback. How was this episode for you? Was it insightful? Did you learn something new? Share with us your feedback in the chat. You can type your favorite emoji or whatever. Just share your feedback. Would love to hear your thoughts. And again, keep in mind that in 2 weeks, as I said, we are going to host our full funnel summit. So we have a lot of cool speakers, and Amber is among our keynote speakers. So make sure to sign up the link. I'm just dropping again the link in the chat, and that would be a link in the description to this episode. Share with us, we still have 14 people. How was this episode for you guys? Type your favorite emoji, please, in the chat. Curious to hear your feedback. And Amber, thanks a lot for joining me and sharing all of these insights.
Absolutely. And if you actually, on the slide that I shared with you on slide 11, there is a QR code for anyone who wants to actually, the asset that I had mentioned, all the steps, the questions to bring to your CFO, that's available for anyone who's interested.
Yeah, and I would share your profile as well in the follow-up email with everybody. Cool. Thanks a lot for your time. Yeah, thank you, Christian. Happy to hear it was helpful. And see you guys in a few weeks on our upcoming summit. Have a great rest of the week. Cheers. Take care.
Thanks.